from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Hot dogs are so good for you. It has, you know, essential snouts and other ingredients and spices. You know, I think my body is in lack of hot dog spices.
Hey, I mean, I'm not the one that...
Vitamin snout.
I would rather be eating filet mignon, but unfortunately that's not in the cards yet.
No, not for us. Okay, so first up, a little apology. I guess we didn't do the pre-election thing that we wanted to, but in retrospect, I guess you all knew that was coming.
We have trained you guys.
We've trained you. To be disappointed, I think fairly well.
And besides, who can feel disappointed now as America has moved into a bright... Well,
you know, actually, you know what I was doing while the election was happening? I was getting drunk. I was getting drunk.
I know you were getting drunk.
I drank like 12 beers.
I was. You were down in the basement getting drunk. I was up here watching all the coverage and counting the electoral votes.
I didn't even want to know, man. It was like one of those things where it might just be the worst night. And I didn't want to be sober to face that potential, you know, bad thing. You remember, you heard about the whole Bradley effect, right?
Yeah. You know what it's all about. Bill Bradley and how white people will tell you that they're going to vote for the black guy, but then they won't because they're secret racists.
I don't even really understand it, but it's not just, you know, it's the fact that people can lie at polls and that kind of stuff. That's the basic idea of it, too. And I was just like, everybody was saying, well, maybe that's the whole Obama thing, and it might just kind of collapse under...
The Bradley effect to me was just a code word for a black man gets screwed effect. And that's kind of like, I mean, it was the whole... What was the name of the guy in L.A. with the riots and everything else like that?
Rodney King?
Yeah, there you go. Black man got screwed effect right there. And then, you know, Bill Bradley or Will Bradley or Mr. Bradley from...
Mr. B.
Getting screwed again. So, of course, we were all expecting Obama to somehow get screwed. But, you know, it was a complete blowout. I mean, as far as electoral seats go, goddamn, that was a rout.
Yeah, you know what? I've never really understood... Well, I guess I do understand why the Electoral College exists, but I've always been against it.
It seems a bit weird.
It's not only is it a bit weird, but it's for... When voting for a president, I think that it just should be popular vote. I really don't understand this whole, well, I'm sorry, the college counts more. What? It just seems like kind of a way. We have a similar thing here in Quebec. Basically, the idea is different districts have different voting power. Mm-hmm. But the way that they divided it, though, is it's fairly clever, is that they put places which would normally vote very, liberal, they put them as French conservatives.
You're going to have to explain that better, because you're losing me, and I live here, and I understand how it works.
Basically, here's how it works. A big portion of the Quebec population doesn't want to separate, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know this, my province in Canada wants to, or at least... A certain percentage of people, mostly French, want to separate
from Canada. They just want their own little dumbass identity.
Yeah, they're afraid that their language might disappear or something like that. Anyways, but the way that it's divided is that all those places which normally vote yes on separating are given way more power through an electoral college kind of system. Mm-hmm. While all those ones where the majority of the population exists that would vote no get a smaller, at least proportionally, electoral college. Mm-hmm. So the whole point that they divided this was they knew exactly what people would vote like. Mm-hmm. And it's designed basically to fuck the vote, if I can say it.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's like that every time you hear about the electoral college being redistributed and everything like that, it's the same thing. I mean, major reform has to happen, but anybody that touches these things is accused of basically trying to stack the deck in their own favor for the next election.
And you can, definitely. That's why I say, screw that. Popular vote. You cannot screw with the popular vote. That's it. You just count every vote. Because every vote's supposed to count. It's not supposed to not count. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that about? When 47% of the population's vote is meaningless because of an electoral college?
Yep.
What the hell is that?
Well, it's always upset at me how, because we live in a place that always votes for one party, and we vote for another, but because basically the way it works is that our vote doesn't matter past our district. As soon as our district goes towards the Bloc or the Conservatives or whoever else, that's the end of the meaning of our vote. Our vote doesn't matter in any other context whatsoever, and it sucks.
It basically makes voting useless, meaningless. So somebody else gets to decide for me who's going to be my representative. Sounds fair, doesn't it? Now, I want to get your take on the whole Obama winning thing, because everybody knows that listens to the podcast that if he was going to lose, you were basically going to fall into a deep, dark depression.
I really was. You know what? I've been in a general funk for the past 2 weeks. I finally come out of it, and I think a big part of it is because Obama won, and what going into the election and hearing all the things. And I mean, I keep a really close eye. I keep a close eye on both sides of the debate. I don't just read the liberal blogs. I read the conservative ones as well. And that was a big part of what was depressing me so much, is that so many people were deluding themselves with all of these crazy ideas,
what's an example of a crazy idea?
Well, just these people who talk about, you know, Obama being a socialist and Palin being anything but a gigantic joke. I mean, when people delude themselves and look at it like this, the McCain people are coming out and they're throwing Palin under the bus, right? And they're saying she really is an idiot. How terrifying is it that she very likely could have become president? That, I mean, I was reading sites that were like, the people who perpetrated that fraud on the American society should be fucking tried for treason. Because how can you do this? How could you do this? The whole idea of country first was just such a sham. And it was just unbelievable. I don't understand how anybody, I mean, I don't understand how anybody could see through it. It is terrifying. That's what terrified me about the whole thing. And I'm so happy that Obama won. But at the same time, I'm terrified that, like, what, 48% of America still voted for McCain.
And that's the craziest part.
If it was McCain Lieberman, I would have been like, okay, I can accept that. I can accept that. But McCain Palin is just, with his age and everything else, it is literally terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying.
Well, she could have really helped control the Senate.
She couldn't help do. No.
Understanding the job fail.
My feeling was just of absolute relief, because we've already had 8 years of people in charge who had no idea what they were doing, and you saw what happened with it. I mean, you can say what you want about Obama's experience, but there's no doubt that he's going to take a look at every single issue, and he's going to weigh it thoroughly, and he's going to get experts in on both sides of the equation to figure it out, and then they're going to go forward with a sane decision that has nothing to do with the radical religious right or any of these other gut check knee jerk groups. So to me, it is a good day for rationality. It is a good day, even though Obama went pretty heavy on that whole religious angle. It is still a good day for atheists. Not so much a good day for the gays.
No. But before we go there, I thought it was just interesting you mentioned experience. And you know, the one thing that I thought was really stupid was the fact that nobody ever talked about how every single one of the presidents of the United States that is worth a damn, like throughout their history, has had probably fewer than a couple years worth of experience in politics. You know, Abe Lincoln, no experience. Roosevelt, only a few years of experience. George Washington, like zero experience.
I know, but there has to be something. I mean, this is where elections have to change, and something has to happen where people are able to look at somebody, and the press really needs to do a better job of showing to people whether or not somebody is a complete moron or not. I mean,
there was definitely way too much protectionism. And, because, you know, it was funny that a VP candidate would say, well, I'm not going to take these interviews. I shouldn't have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. You were about to be, you know, you were potentially being voted in a public office and you were avoiding the press. I'm sorry. You must make yourself available at all times.
I know. And it just blows me away that the press didn't do anything about that. And it, I mean, you talk about the press failing America going into Iraq. Well, they just failed you again. They just failed America again. And again, that 48% is like 2.1% more. And yeah, everybody would be looking back and going, wow, congratulations, media, for doing it again. Because it's just there's too much. I mean, look at the idea of balances, right? And the media is trying to be balanced, but they've lost the concept of what balanced is supposed to be about. You're not supposed to ignore the truth of what's going on so you can give both sides of the story a balanced appearance.
It's not an issue of balance. Look, it's an issue. Didn't you hear when it wasn't Ted Koppel? It was one of the guys who used to have a nightly news show. What the hell is
Dan
his name?
Rather?
Dan Rather. Dan Rather goes around now and he talks about mainstream media and its failure. And he said, well, in his time during the Watergate scandal, there were pressures from major companies and people of power saying you got to bury the story. And he didn't know this at the time, but his bosses took all that flack and they were like, no, it's about our journalistic integrity. But nowadays that word doesn't exist. That concept doesn't exist. There is no journalistic credibility or accountability. All there is the bottom line. How much are we making in terms of ad revenues? How many people are watching our show? So on and so forth. Right? When the most important thing about Katie Couric isn't the fact of whether or not she's a good journalist, but whether or not their ratings are going down.
Yeah, people say Katie Couric gets enough ratings and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So it's not really about the news. It's become basically the media has become that message.
It's become Entertainment Tonight.
Exactly. So that's, you know, if you want to to see where the failing comes from, I think that the beginning of the end really happened when all of a sudden a news company started being a business, more of a business than the necessary functioning of a society. You cannot have a private corporation fulfill the role of press.
It became more of a business than a service.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
this is that clear thing when you look at stuff like prisons, education,
it's like a fire department. Could you imagine a fire department was like a business?
Well, they had that back in the day.
Yeah, and it was bad.
It was really bad.
It was quite bad. It's like if you didn't have the insignia of the particular fire station, they wouldn't put out the fire at your house. Oh, yeah. Great. Business and capitalism, so great. So great. All the time. It works for everything. No, wait, it doesn't. Okay, let's talk about something else that happened, which was one of the big disappointments. I wrote about this on the site. I recommend you go visit it. Again, the site, www.thegoodatheist.net.
And before we continue on, are we going to say once again that thegoodatheist.net, we've sat down and we figured out some parameters for how we want to... develop the site. We're so happy that we get such crazy numbers, people listening to me jibba-jabba.
Jibba-jabba.
I'm an idiot.
He's stupid.
I am an idiot. You people still tune in and listen, so we're very impressed by that. So, you know, maybe check out the site. Check out, I'm going to be still finding links and posting them up. And Jake's actually going to be, you know, talking about stuff because he knows things.
I try to, you know what, my plan is to put as many thought-provoking articles as I possibly can. You know, you have a lot of those sites, atheist sites, that want to just put links and give their 2 cents. But I'm talking about, like, really, I'm going to lay the goddamn smack down. You know, the same... People who like my rants, for instance, I think that you're going to enjoy some of the articles that I write. I really want to make good cases for things that I think are pretty balls. So that's part of what the new site's going to be like. There's also a redesign and a nice logo. If anybody wonders what I look like, the cartoon version of me on the site looks about 90% accurate. It's pretty scary. So yeah, visit the site. But what I had written specifically, maybe some of you don't know this, it's about Proposition 8, and that was a proposition to amend the Constitution to make it so that essentially gays couldn't marry by saying that. The Constitution of California.
Which is like gay land. It's ridiculous that this happened in California.
Well, it's not that ridiculous because when you look at California itself, there are pockets of very liberal individuals, but there's also massive rural areas in California full of rednecks.
Yeah.
Who just don't like the idea of gays. But one of the biggest disappointments was the fact that overwhelmingly The people who voted yes on the proposition, many of them were black.
Yeah,
so, which just, you know, the irony is not lost on a guy like me where, you know, 60 years ago, these were the same people that were fighting to not have to go to different bathrooms and have the same rights. And meanwhile, they say, okay, gays, no rights for you. You can't have the same rights as me.
I personally found the irony in the fact that you had this sweeping change coming in and all the blacks coming out to vote for Obama. And at the same time, that revolution, that beautiful thing, is the root. It is the cause. I think the stats were something like 68 or 72%.
70. I think it was 70.
It was higher than any other ethnic group, and it really did. It made the difference. It was the cause. Prop 8 is the reason Prop 8 passed, and the reason why now they're trying to put an amendment into the California Constitution. To ban
it's not even a ban. You know what it is? It specifically says that marriage is the union between a man and a woman, and that is it. Mm-hmm. So that is what is banning it, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, they're also thinking that retroactively that means all those marriages are going to be annulled. But here's another irony. Like, there was another proposition they passed, Proposition 2, mm-hmm. which had to do with something about, like, you know, the gist of it was making sure that animals don't get tortured during, I think it was like chickens or something.
Yeah, hens have to be in bigger cages.
Right. So that got passed too, so they're saying, well, we care about animals, but we really hate gays.
Yeah.
I fucking hate those gays.
Well, I just want to say, you know, there's a whole bunch of things we want to talk about. We want to get into the religious aspect of it. Then we want to get into the aspect of how this democratic action was not democratic at all, which was the root of your article.
Right.
But first I wanted to kind of mention how Proposition 8 was fought. And I really want to say... Shame on the people saying yes on 8, but the no on 8 people for completely trying to make it an ambiguous topic and not bringing up gay people and basically hiding gay people like they deserve to be in the closet and trying not to mention, oh, you shouldn't vote yes on 8, you should vote no on it because civil liberties and discrimination, blah blah blah. No one mentioned the word gay. It was like they were afraid of it. It's like a shame. And I'm like, listen, you gotta go and you gotta say these people are discriminated against homosexuals. And it's wrong. And
you know
what I just got to say? The reason that 8 passed is because the yes group was able to sweeten it up and make it sound like it wasn't discrimination. And the no people were too chicken shit to put a face on it.
You know what else it was? I think, and this is again what I wrote in the article, although I didn't quite go into it as much as I wanted to because it would probably be taking up like a whole chapter of a book. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with how we look... You know, like, they used to have in the old days civics lesson. The idea of civics was basically you need to teach a citizen more than just the mechanism of democracy, because you can understand how it works. Okay, legislative, judicial, and executive branches. Okay, then you know how that works. You know that you're supposed to vote for a representative, that kind of stuff. That's the mechanism of it, but it doesn't talk about its spirit. And, you know, you may not like a particular group. That's fine. You may not like individuals that are religious, or you may not like individuals that are atheist, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you say, like, you have to admit that your duty first is to make sure that each individual has the same rights that you do. Anytime you fucking trample on that, you are a bad citizen. We are all in society. Like, our role in society, our acceptance of how society is structured has a lot to do with the fact that there is this unspoken or sometimes spoken truce. And that truce is, if I belong to this society and this group, I'm going to be treated fairly. And that's how you have stability in a society. But then if you were to turn around and say, well, you know what? If you're gay, then yeah, you can't have the same things that I do. But you got to be cool about it, so shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. And this brings me to the second point, which is a person came over and they asked me, this is why I wrote the article, when democracy isn't democratic. He asked me, well, you know, it was voted on and it was democratic, so shouldn't we respect the rule of the majority? And by that I mean, is it okay if a majority rules that a minority doesn't have the right to marry, for instance?
No, well, basically,
even if it's a democracy. And the answer is, no, that's not all right. This is called the tyranny of the majority.
I know, but what he was saying that was because a democratic society voted on it and decided this, then shouldn't we respect that democratic decision? And it goes along... To me, it goes along with the idea of what we were talking about with religion, where we're saying that a lot of religious people take a look at morality and they say, well, religion makes it really simple. It takes away that right or wrong choice. Like we were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and blood transfusions, where they're saying, well, I don't have to make that choice about whether or not my baby, about whether or not to give that blood transfusion, because my religion says no, so that is not my choice. And this is what people are saying now. Well, democracy said that this is what's going to happen, so shouldn't we just respect democracy and just decide that it's okay because democracy made it so? See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here's basically my point, my answer to that. Just because something is voted on doesn't mean that it's right. The example that I use was, if you had a piece of pie and you wanted to divide and you're a small group of six, you know how to divide it. You divide it equally. Why? Because... You can't... Because
that's what's right.
That's what's right. You can't bully someone to say, well, you know what? I'm just going to cut it bigger for me and fuck you dudes.
But what about if five people voted that five people get pie and that six person, fuck off.
Exactly. If that happened, or if it was 100,000 or 200,000, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. If you decide that a certain segment of the population can't get a goddamn piece of pie, you can't turn around, pat yourself on the back and say, I did the right thing. No, it's... Again, the tyranny of the majority is the theory that... certain democratic action can have the same result as a tyrannical despot. That you can vote to repeal the rights of people of different races to marry. You could literally put a referendum to make that a constitutional amendment if you really want. Obviously, it wouldn't pass muster because people realize that would be wrong.
Because most people at least have a decent sense of civic duty. Because so even if you're 51% of a certain group of people and 49% of another, you got a good chance that there's going to be a number of people who agree that who don't agree with the fact that you're trying to take away rights from other people.
Exactly. But the instance of homosexuality is really an instance where people's personal prejudices and personal beliefs are starting to really affect their civic duties. So they don't recognize... See, the issue of marriage for them isn't an issue of civil rights because they're like, well, I'm not preventing them from doing anything that they want except for one thing. And that one thing is marriage, and marriage is defined entirely by my religion. But if that was true, then they wouldn't require the state to mandate marriage. I'd say, you know what, you can go and call yourself married all you want, but when it becomes a legal arrangement that the state mandates, then all of a sudden, to prevent marriage becomes... This is when the separation of church and state all of a sudden gets eroded. Mm-hmm. Because now you want it both ways. You want it to be religious, but it's also still mandated by the state and by a constitution. I'm like, I'm sorry. You can't fucking have it both ways. If you want to just, do like the old Celtics used to do where you put yourself a little scarf and then boom, you're married or whatever the hell it was. Everybody's mm-hmm. got their weird ceremony.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't need to have a piece of paper. And yeah. The state didn't allow you to, inherit the lands or whatever of your husband and all these legal duties. These legal duties have everything to do with, these are government matters.
Mm-hmm.
So... what upsets me most about this is, again, that erosion of the whole separation of church and state. And that's fucking scary.
And that is the key thing, because it's not like these churches are going to recognize... most of the churches aren't going to recognize these marriages anyways. They're just looking for government recognition of the marriages. And I just don't understand how... anybody can say that the government shouldn't be allowed to recognize these marriages.
I don't even understand how this whole proposition could pass muster, because it becomes obvious from the get-go that a certain preferential religion and viewpoint is being fucking put forward. And that is exactly what the Constitution of the United States says very, very, very clearly. I think it's the fifth amendment. I don't even know. Anyways, the point is... I don't know my Constitution.
Actually, people plead the fifth, so I don't think
it's not the fifth.
One.
Was it the fourth or the seventh? The ninth, I think. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. It's there. I know it's there. I'm just not American, so I haven't fucking memorized the thing. But the point is, the government shall make no one religion, have precedence over another. And the religious view that marriage is between a man and a woman is definitely a Christian view. And, it's... it boggles my mind that they allow this to go through, and then everybody turn around and say, well, you know what? It was decided democratically, so we're done. This issue is taken care of.
But wait a second. Let me just ask you this. I'm pretty sure they did a referendum on gay marriage before in California, and they failed. So they just added it in again. So that's the funny thing.
It's round number two.
Yeah. So it's ironic that people are like, well, they voted yes on it this time. I'm like, yeah, but they voted no on it last time.
It's really hilarious. The same thing happens over here when it comes to separation. Every 4 years, it becomes an issue. They try and try and try again. And you know what? They really don't understand that it's, again, the same issue. You can't just have a tyranny of the majority, especially when the majority is only 52.4% of Californians said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. To amend the Constitution. I'm just like, what? That's not enough people that agree on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it was 90, is it okay for 10% of the population to be, well, your opinion is completely and utterly unimportant?
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with civil rights issues, it's not up for voting. The majority can't decide what the minority should, what their rights should be. It has to be the same. The same rights for everybody. The same rights. I just don't understand why anybody could think, oh, well, it's all good now. And I'm like, shame on you. California, shame on you!
Well, it's because it's one of those things that people hate George Bush, yet they swallow that whole line of democracy and freedom as being
ultimate.
and so long as you hold them up to that, such a high thing, it's like, democracy is great, capitalism is great. We're like, you know what? You saw what capitalism just resulted in, and you're seeing now what democracy can do. And we've seen in the history, history books are full of cases where things have been democratically decided, and it is not being a positive.
It's not being good. It's not being good. It's like, hey, Nazis, you want some seats in the German parliament? Granted. Uh-oh. That's not good.
Yeah.
All right. That's my rant. Basically, anything else you want to say on Prop 8?
I hate it. I think it's freaking gay, and I really hope...
it's gay in the wrong way.
It's bad gay.
It's bad gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
It's taker, not giver.
It's
total pitcher, not catcher.
I really hope that sort of like they bring this to a higher court. And I hope that it really just... Go back to the Constitution of the United States itself, which should be clear on this issue that if one group is allowed to do something, then it should be true for all groups.
Yeah.
And if they want marriage to be, you know, if religious people want marriage to be traditionally defined as a union between only a man and a woman, then I'm sorry, that's a religious viewpoint. And if governments decide that they're going to support that, then we're going to fight them. We're going to fight them here, and hopefully everybody else is going to fight them, and you just can't let that happen. This is how it starts, people. This is how it begins. It's first it's marriage, and then it's something else. Then it's, I don't know, I can't even think of who's allowed to be elected, who's allowed to become president, who's allowed to be on a school board, what is being taught. It's just like that. Who's allowed to be a teacher? It's a fucking slippery slope that they're just... You know, that starts with just the definitions of marriage.
Boy Scouts.
It's just, you know what? Like, I'm not going to let this slide. Well, I'm not going
to
let this slide.
I just wanted to talk, you know, a lot of the people that I've discussed the topic with have basically said, you know, I was saying, well, you know, now there's a lot of legal challenges coming up, and there are lots of gay people who are like, you know what, we don't want it to be done through the legal system, you know, we want it to be done through education and tolerance education and stuff like that. I'm like, no, I mean, look, this has already been round two. You guys won last time, and now you've lost because they've changed it around and they ran another campaign, and the Mormons pumped like $80 million into the topic. I mean,
make them go broke. Make those motherfuckers go broke.
No, I don't think so. It will never ever happen. It's just, you got to realize that so long as it keeps on getting put up for public voting, I mean, it's not going to stop. It's already been round two. If they'd lost this time, they would have brought it back up in 2 years again. It is going to keep on getting brought up until the state steps in or the Supreme Court steps in and says, look, this is how it's got to be. And that's pretty much it. And that's why I'm definitely for the idea of it going through the court system, because so long as you allow it to be turned into this dumbass political issue that gets decided by the voters, you're going to have... It's the same thing of the whole wedge situation.
Wedge strategy for intelligent design. You know what? Here's what I basically say. You have to bring it to court not to allow gay marriage, but to disallow... You know, religious disallow discrimination and disallow religiously motivated individuals from controlling the definition of marriage itself. It shouldn't matter what the sex is, because it's not about gay or straight when it comes to marriage. It's about the rights of individuals to marry whoever the hell they want. Mm. I don't care if it's somebody of a different race or somebody of the same sex. I don't care about any of that shit. It just, you cannot involve the, you know, any of any government institution to enforce that level of discrimination. And that's all the courts have to agree on. They don't have to agree on saying, like, we need to allow gays to marry. It's not even about allowing them to marry. It's just about disallowing.
It's about the idea of this shouldn't be a question. And this,
yeah, it should not be a question. It doesn't deserve to have an amendment. Okay, it doesn't deserve to be in a constitution, be it a state constitution or, you know, a country's constitution. It just doesn't. Okay, with that, let's wrap it up.